How do you understand your company's reputation as an employer? Metrics vary from company to company, making it hard to benchmark your progress against competitors. This is where the Employer Brand Index comes in. It analyzes what employees, candidates, and alumni are saying about your company and quantifies these findings into a single score. We can even dive into your talent competitors to really understand how competitive your employer brand is. Our team of talent analysts collect all available data points, discover patterns, and deliver a report full of insights and recommendations. Want to know more? Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, son, Svejsan. Guess what? It's Jorgen Sandberg here. Yes, with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. How apt is that? Yeah, today we're going to attempt to answer that age-old question causing sleepless nights across the world. Does recruitment marketing belong in talent acquisition or in marketing stroke communications? Many schools of thought on this topic, and today, we're going to speak to someone who has been there, done that, got the t-shirt, wrote the article, and did the podcast interview. Let's start the show. Hey, Kathleen, how's it going?
It's great. How are you today, Jorgen?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Now, please let our listeners know who you are, what you do, and what brings you onto this podcast.
Gladly. Well, first of all, thanks so much for giving me this opportunity to share a little bit about my story. My name is Kathleen Back. I'm currently located in Atlanta, Georgia. I work for NCR Corporation and have been with the company a little over 11 years. My current role is Candidate Attraction Manager, and I sit within the social media team currently aligned to employer branding initiatives and anything related to recruitment marketing and really telling our culture story. So that's a little bit about me.
Great. An NCR Corporation. I'm sure I've seen that on ATM machines, on cash machines. Am I right?
That is correct. But we have come a long way since the meaning of National Cash Register, which is what NCR originally stood for. And we now have a whole portfolio of offerings. We're really a software and services led technology company. And we're across various industries, and we do business in over 180 countries. So way beyond ATMs into a lot of software services, professional services, lots of different unique and really fun things happening in the technology space.
Yeah. And how many employees do you have now?
Yes. So we have about 34,000 employees globally.
Wow. Great. Okay. So today we want to talk about the ownership of recruitment marketing in particular. So I'm going to let you set the scene here. In your opinion, who owns recruitment marketing inside the organizational structure?
Well, really, I think that's a big question in the talent marketing community today, and especially as this type of role and this type of function within large and small companies alike continues to grow. My answer is that it really all depends. I don't know that there's really a right or wrong answer. I think every company has really unique hiring goals, budget, hierarchies, lots of things that contribute to where these types of roles might sit.
Yeah.
Things like culture or your internal processes, and really it just it depends on what, you know, you feel works best for your organization. A lot of that will contribute to it. And really in my time and my experience in my current role, I've had success in focusing efforts more in a connected cross-functional approach. So again, really no right or wrong answer. I really see the value in a partnership on both sides of the house, which I hope to speak to a little bit today.
Okay, yeah, I'm interested to know more about the cross-functional approach, but perhaps you can tell us what the pros and the cons are of recruitment marketing being part of talent acquisition, which I imagine is the norm.
Right, exactly. And so when I started in this role, I was actually aligned to talent acquisition. So that was back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And to your question, some of the pros and some of the challenges I can kind of speak to, but really, the pros were that I could really have that day-to-day interaction with recruiters. And essentially, I consider talent acquisition, recruiters, the recruiter teams, the recruitment teams to be my internal customer. And so getting to experience sort of their day-to-day challenges was a really big pro with sitting on that side of the house. I wasn't an actual recruiter, but I could understand the ins and outs of their workload, processes they encounter, challenges with hiring, and that was really, really helpful. Another pro was that I gained some really great visibility into a lot of the hiring strategies. So what were their goals by this time next month or next quarter or next year? Just sitting in on those conversations and being part of that was really, really helpful. I also had a lot of visibility to metrics, and I was able to see how the team was performing against targets, things like time to fill or the recruitment funnel numbers, even just general feedback from candidates and candidate experience surveys, because the talent acquisition team and more of the HR side of the house really owned all those metrics. Being part of that team, I was able to really embed myself in that and understand it. And also just having that access to the leadership team, talent acquisition leadership team, and the recruiting teams in general. With being an actual member of their team, I was on regular team meetings. I was able to sit in and really access them easily. I could easily grab them for a quick phone call or connect with them quickly as being part of that team and that organization. So that's sort of the pros side of sitting within talent acquisition.
Right. And what are the downsides?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't like to call them cons, right? Just challenges. So really the downsides or the challenges is it was hard to balance priorities being the one role that supported the entire global talent acquisition team. So I mentioned, you know, we have over 34,000 employees. I think we hire about 5,000 employees a year. And it's tough with the complex hiring needs of the organization. And so being one role, and it was a new role, and really feeling my way through that was difficult, supporting that large of a hiring initiative. And then having the lack of expertise around marketing theory and brand building, things like storytelling, things like best practices and digital communications. Sitting in the TA side of the house, you don't really have that focus or even that thought process in the way that you consider recruitment marketing campaigns. And that's not necessarily a negative thing. It's just that that's not their expertise. So we all were learning as we went, with me sitting kind of in that space. I also kind of found that it can be a bit of a challenge to build business cases for sort of enhanced recruitment marketing technology or tools. So maybe candidate experience related things or programs. And I would always put forth, hey, I think we need budget for this. But that can be hard when, at least in our organization, you're sitting in the talent acquisition team where a lot of your budget is being driven by the business. And they're always really focused on, okay, I need, you know, these roles filled. I need it quick. I've got to go to market with a product or a solution. And we don't have time, you know, and so their budget is very much aligned to their urgent needs. So I think sometimes sitting in TA, it's a little more difficult to prove return on investment in some of the recruitment marketing or employer branding type tools and technology. I also think it's, going back to my first point, it's really hard to be all things supporting both a broader employer brand and all the elements that make up your brand, but then also owning specific campaigns. And not only that, but owning it from strategy all the way through execution. So it was really being that one-man show in a new function and sitting under talent and having to be the expert in all things across this kind of role. So that's kind of the highlights of what I felt were the pros and the challenges of sitting on that side of the house.
Sounds like there may be a few more challenges than pros.
I guess it's all relative, right?
Yeah, because I'm thinking, it's interesting what you said about when you're sitting with a TA team, you perhaps don't have that many people to bounce ideas with in terms of marketing and branding. My experience is that many recruitment marketing professionals, they've started it in TA or recruiting and then moved into more of a marketing role. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, that's exactly where I have landed. So I did start in that function, and I started being a true partner with the marketing side of the house so much and starting to dig in and learn more from them that it started to make sense the more we looked at it for me to sit on that side of the house. So end of 2017, early 2018, I actually transitioned over to the marketing communications team, which is where I sit today.
Okay, hold that thought. There was something else sprung to my mind. I spoke to Lori Sylvia last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she knows a lot about this recruitment marketing space, and she was a little bit concerned about the career path of recruitment marketers. So not just where they came from, so perhaps from a recruiting background, but also what's the next step? Where do you go from there? Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, it's really interesting. In my position, I have a unique story because, you know, as most people explain their career path, sometimes you start out headed towards one thing, your college degree takes you one place, or you think you're going, and then you land somewhere completely different.
Yep.
And my time at NCR, I actually started in learning and development. And it's interesting how things kind of progress, because we soon realized we focus a lot on our internal employees, but we don't think about our new hires or our candidates. And that's where my journey sort of took us as an organization. We realized we needed to start focusing on our external populations before they're even considering applying. What's their experience? And so it was an interesting journey for me personally, coming from learning and development, kind of looking at the candidate as a really important resource to start focusing on, and then realizing that you can almost treat candidates the same way you treat a customer on the marketing side in terms of really selling your company as a great place to work. And I've become really enthralled and interested in that and how you sort of shift marketing principles to apply to candidates. So I'm not sure where this, you know, this line of work is heading, but I really do get excited about connecting with other people in this community, because everybody's paths and stories are so different that I find this is a very evolving type of role, and I'm still learning it as I go. So I'm not sure where it's headed, but I do get really excited about the opportunities that HR and talent professionals can start to dive into on more of a marketing and branding side of the house.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a growing category. So with that comes more opportunity as well. So who knows what sort of roles will appear in the next few years. Right. So let's look at the pros and cons of recruitment marketing being part of marketing and communications.
Absolutely. So some of the things that have really been on the pros side, really beneficial as I've moved into this side of the house, is I've been able to leverage a lot of concentrated resources. And so people align to very specific functions within my team that are truly experts. So before, where I was trying to do everything, now I can lean on experts aligned to different functions within my team. So communications or creative and design assets or people who are really knowledgeable on how to best utilize digital platforms. And especially analytics. So one of my main struggles was always trying to measure how your employer brand is doing, which I know is a big part of your focus with this podcast and beyond, and what you offer in your organization and your company to really help people measure that employer branding. And so having someone who is in-house and understands analytics was really, really helpful for me. I've also had a lot of visibility into what's happening throughout the entire organization. So being in a marketing and comms function, you're seeing all the press releases coming down the pipeline, what's happening in the news around our organization, what events are happening globally, internally with our employees. And something I had never considered was when I think about recruitment marketing campaigns or things that we're going to plan or push out, sometimes you have to think about the timing. So if there's something happening externally with the company or internally with the company, if there's hiring freezes at certain times of the year, there's things we're communicating, it may not be the best time to focus on a campaign. Or on the other side of it, there's really big events happening and really, really cool things happening that our employees are a part of. Maybe it's a really great time to start highlighting, you know, why you should come work with us. So it's been really helpful seeing that full pipeline of what's happening with the organization. And then kind of similar to that point, thinking about that, I'm able to really repurpose and pull a lot of inspiration from some really authentic stories coming out of work already happening within my group. So because our communications team is very accessible, especially our HR communications partners, I'm able to really see what's happening in the culture, what's happening within teams winning awards and getting excited about the work they're doing and sharing their stories. I'm a really big believer that authentic storytelling is the key to a strong brand, a strong employer brand. And so our employees can tell the story much better than I can as an employer branding or recruitment marketing expert or job role in the field. they can tell it more than I can. So just having those stories already sort of happening is a really great bank for me to pull from, which has been really cool.
Do you find that the stories that you uncover in when you're in that department are gives you more of a 360 view of the organization as opposed to more recruitment focused ones?
Absolutely, because I'm first of all, we're so global. I'm able to see what's happening in other locations. So part of the challenge of our world headquarters being in Atlanta is trying to be more global. And so understanding more of what's happening in the offices around our locations, not just in terms of who we're trying to hire, but what is the culture like in one location, maybe in India versus our other location in Serbia versus the way things happen day to day here in Atlanta. So not only just understanding what stories to tell in terms of if I'm trying to sell us as a great place to work, but what our employees are saying about what it's like to work in those spaces, getting photographs, you know, on site there because we're doing a story on something that happened and having these really great assets coming in. I'm really getting a much deeper view of what our employee base is like. When I say 34,000, I'm starting to really get an insight myself into what those people look like and how they're contributing to the organization.
Gotcha. Right. So, and what might some of the challenges be when you're in marketing and communications?
Yeah, some of the challenges I think is just staying connected to that recruiting function, making sure that I put time aside, whether it's a monthly meeting, a weekly meeting, whatever works for my schedule as well as the talent acquisition team. But how do I stay connected with them? It's a little bit more tricky when I'm now sitting in a different part of the organization. So simply just finding the time to connect with them because they are essentially my internal customers. They are who I'm trying to enable to find quality talent, not just quantity, but quality talent and a culture fit. So finding the time to meet with them has been a little bit of a challenge just sitting elsewhere. I also think now that I'm in the global marketing and communications team, it's a challenge for me to balance a lot of these enterprise-wide initiatives that my team and my peers are all aligned to, but also stay focused on very targeted recruitment marketing campaigns. Going back to really staying connected to the recruiters, just making sure I have a good pulse on where are your gaps right now and what is urgent, while also balancing maybe urgent things coming out that I need to assist with my team. So whether that's a social media campaign for something happening internally or externally, or being an extra set of hands to help write a communications or all hands on deck for certain things that may be happening, it's hard to balance that time. And I also think when you think about marketing in general, customer and industry content tend to take the priority because you can see and feel and touch the actual metrics around whether or not it's working. Are you getting leads? Are you getting sales leads? Are you getting new customers? The metrics are there. It's easy to see. You're focused on revenue generating goals. And those are what most in the organization and within marketing are seeing as the fruition of their work. And so often industry content or customer driven content is given priority. And sometimes the culture and recruitment type careers content can sometimes become a little lower on the list. It's a little bit harder to measure that and not often seen as directly revenue generating, even though those of us in the field and in this kind of field understand how critical it is to revenue generating goals.
Gotcha. Okay. So those are the pros and cons of talent acquisition and marketing and communication. So the obvious question now is which one wins? Where should recruitment marketing sit to be the most effective?
Well, I think, you know, not to sound like a broken record, but I think it really is going to still depend on, you know, really your individual goals as an organization and what you're able to set yourself up with in terms of structure and budget and things like that. But, you know, I'm still curious to learn more in general where these roles sit across this industry. As we discussed earlier, it's really an up and coming market and job market, and where is the future headed with these types of roles, whether broader employer branding or recruitment marketing specific. And so while I'm still learning and trying to gain that insight through various communities and things, I don't have a lot of insight into it, but I did recently do a quick informal poll just for fun and to gain more knowledge here. And So I went out to a Facebook group. There's a group called the Talent Brand Alliance. It's a full community of talent brand professionals. It's got over 500 people in the group, And recently when I contributed to Rally Recruitment Marketing's blog on this topic, someone had a great idea in the group to say, hey, why don't you do a quick poll? Let's just see where everybody sits and kind of ask that question. And I thought that was a great idea. So I only got about 47 people to respond, but it still gave me a good enough idea and gave me some insight. And of those 47 people, only 4 sit in marketing and the rest sit in talent acquisition or an HR function. So again, really, it seems like right now in this space, it's weighing more towards sitting in talent acquisition. And I think that's really critical because, you know, as I discussed, you have to really understand the goals. But I can continue to see the value in leveraging the expertise of a marketing function. And I think it's going to continue to grow and change. And there's no right or wrong answer, but it really comes down to your unique goals and also your resources and what you have.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, that's great. So yeah, we're big fans of the Talent Brand Alliance here at So if you haven't joined our Facebook group, do. And weigh in on this. I'll be really interested to hear from people who actually do recruitment marketing and sit in marketing and to understand their perspective on it.
Absolutely. And,
generally, what's in your experience? You've been doing this for a little while now. In your experience, what is the key to recruitment marketing success?
Well, I think even beyond sitting in recruitment marketing, just in my time within my current organization, working for NCR in various roles. So again, whether it's recruitment marketing or any role where you're really hoping to be successful, I've kind of boiled it down to 2 things. And the first is being a partner. I've always tried to remember, no matter where I sit or my title, what team I'm on, everyone at an organization has the same goal or should, and that's to contribute to the success of the company. So I advise anyone sort of thinking through this to essentially do the same, be a partner. Seeing your peers across other functions as partners has been really critical to my success in my role. I've established respect for other individuals' expertise and knowledge, and what that's done is allowed me to approach them for fresh conversations, fresh relationship building in a manner that's well received. So rather than trying to think of it as an us versus them, it's seeing both teams as integral to success. And in this case, marketing and talent acquisition, coming to them and saying, hey, listen, I know, you know, you're an expert in marketing theory and digital communications. And can you help me a little bit with what I'm trying to do versus seeing them as an opposing side? You want to work together and learn from one another. Which brings me to my second point is that in addition to being a partner, the other key to recruitment marketing success and even beyond is to be a continual learner. So I see myself as someone who's always strived to learn more. And I think everyone should as well. So if you're sitting in the talent acquisition side of the house, maybe it's being open to learning more about the ways in which marketers really sell to customers through storytelling or targeted messaging. And then you can think about how to apply that to a candidate, for example. If you're sitting in the marketing side of the house, maybe it means being open to learning more about the ways in which candidates differ from customers and what that means for challenges that recruiters face. I've learned a lot just across various topics, just from my own curiosity and also to just really sharpen my toolkit in terms of what I'm doing in this space. But I've searched on topics and found things online around search engine optimization and digital marketing, social media, public speaking, things like communications. A lot of it's through free resources, and you can find a lot of different things online and through these communities. But really, at the end of the day, whether it's formal or informal learning, I think always researching and trying to grow has really helped me be a lot more well-rounded in my approach to employer branding, and especially recruitment marketing as I do targeted campaigns and things. And really, that's regardless of where the role sits. It's just about finding that balance to meet success for the organization.
Yeah, I can tell you used to work in learning and development for sure.
Yes, I always have a heart. Always be a learner, a heart for learning for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so finally, I'd be interested in knowing as well if the above also goes for employer branding, as in recruitment marketing, where it should sit. Should it sit in the same place as employer branding? Or should that be different altogether? Or is that a topic for another interview perhaps?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question because I think we even struggle with that internally. You know, what is employer branding versus recruitment marketing? So beginning with just that question and sort of dissecting it, I personally feel that employer branding should be very much, your actual employer brand should be very much aligned to your corporate and customer brand as an organization. Now, it's definitely a different message, but it should be in line with what your organization is promising as a company to customers. So I think broader initiatives around employer branding or building an employer value proposition, employee value proposition, really need your marketing team's buy-in and the guidance and expertise there. And so I think starting there is really important. And you need to have that story in place. You need to have candidate personas built. And there's a science to that and a way to do that in which your marketing organization may be able to really help. And then you want to make sure all that messaging and branding aligns to the corporate messaging, so it all becomes one cohesive brand. And then I think if you consider what that employer brand actually is in practice, it's your reputation. It's essentially how prospects or candidates view you as an employer. So really, you need to get that story in place, and then you take the recruitment marketing, talent marketing campaigns, and that's how you're executing on the brand. And this is just my take on it. And so it's where you're actually getting in and building the targeting campaigns, the targeted campaigns across digital channels or recruiting event collateral and messaging. It has to be really aligned to those candidate personas you've built. So, you know, as mentioned through our chat today, I really do see both talent acquisition and marketing working jointly to achieve your broader employer brand and your very targeted hiring goals. And in a matter, you know, it doesn't really matter where those roles sit. I don't think, for me personally, I own our broader employer branding strategy along with some peers, but I also own the very targeted recruitment marketing campaign. So I think it just, again, it's an evolving area, an evolving career field, and I think it will continue to ebb and flow between marketing and talent acquisition, but I really don't think you can have one without the other.
Gotcha. Wise final words there. So, Kathleen, where can our listeners find out more about the work that you do at NCR, and also where can they connect with yourself?
Well, I would be happy to connect with anyone on LinkedIn. Again, my name's Kathleen Back, B-A-C-K. I also recently contributed to the Rally Recruitment Marketing blog on this exact topic. So if you want to go check out their blog on recruitment marketing versus TA, I contributed earlier last year, actually, in 2018. And also just feel free to email me. I'll make sure my resources are posted along with this podcast, if that works for you.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I look forward to connecting more. I'd love to continue the conversation, learn more about anyone else in this field and any online communities that I can continue to join. And I also encourage you to find me out on the Talent Brand Alliance page, as mentioned. And I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kathleen.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was really fun to chat with you and really share my experience in the space.
All right, there you have it, folks. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast if indeed you enjoy the content at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on iOS, SoundCloud, and other places where you find your podcasts. Now, question for you. How do you measure employer brand? Well, funny you should ask that. Well, you didn't, I did, but never mind. We've developed the Employer Brand Index, which is our way of finding out what's being said about your organization in an employment context. Our team of talent analysts collect all obtainable data points, analyze the patterns, and deliver a report full of insights and with a clear action plan. And of course, you get a final score, which can be measured over time. So you learn what part of your employer brand strategy works, and perhaps more importantly, which one doesn't work. The Employer Brand Index is trusted by companies like GE and Unilever. So are you ready to join these fine companies to establish your baseline? Ping me at Jorgen@LinkHumans, or just go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more. And that is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always, and look forward to catching up next time. Hey,
why did the recruiter hire the scarecrow?
No idea.
He was outstanding in his field.